So several years ago, I was at annual conference, and my main goal at annual conference is to try to be as inconspicuous as possible. I like to be inconspicuous. You never want to draw attention, especially of the bishop. The bishop always presides over the annual conference. That's our big annual gathering of United Methodists throughout the state of South Carolina, and we handle all kind of business and all kind of things. We worship, and also we do ordination of those who are ready for ordination. And then the bishop on the last day, the last thing he does or she does is to set the appointments. The appointments are read, and then the bishop strikes the gavel and says, "The appointments are set," and they're set for another year. So that's always the big deal at annual conference. So at the ordination service one year, I was a part of the clergy who had to be a part of that ordination service. So we were all decked out and robed up and everything else. And so I decided, I think I'll be last in line because there were about 65 clergy who were being a part of it and stuff. So I decided I'd be last in line. So I made sure I was last in line. Forgetting one point. We processed in, so we're going to process out. Well, last in is first out. Talk about forgetting to be inconspicuous. But anyway, so I thought, oh, well, okay. After I sat down, I realized, oh, man, I'll have to be first out. So that's all right. So then we had not one, not two, but three bishops there doing things and being a part of this service, which is always a very beautiful service. It's very, very traditional, and it's sort of the high moment of the life of the church when you ordain these who have been going through the process ordination, some of them for about 10 years before they get to it. So it's a big deal, and it's a very high moment in the church, and a lot of people from the churches where these pastors are serving will come in on buses, so the place is always packed. That year was at Walford in the arena, and the place was just packed, and it was a very, very big deal. So then in the service, I thought, okay, I've got to lead this whole thing out and everything. So they walked by with a banner. The acolytes came by, and they were carrying a banner. So I whipped out, and so all the clergy whipped out after me and everything else. And then we got to the back entrance where we were supposed to go, and it was big double doors. And so I held the door, and the first person past me said, "You walked out under the bishop's banner." And I went, "Huh? What? What?" And I didn't realize that only the bishop walks under the bishop's banner. And so I'd walked out. Well, then everybody followed me. So the three bishops who were coming to walk underneath the banner had to wait for the clergy to get in front of them. Seemed like somebody would have said, "No, stop, come back. Don't do that." But no, they let me lead everybody out. The bishop stood there waiting. So then the first person was nice and said, "You walked out under the bishop's banner." All the rest of them called me Bishop Batson. Everyone that passed by said, "Nice day, Bishop Batson." Everybody, everybody, everybody. And then, of course, the cabinet, all the DSs were the last, and every one of them said, "Well, I didn't know you were Bishop Batson." I thought, well, if you're going to make a fool of yourself, do it in front of thousands of people and three bishops. Just go ahead and do it all the way, all that stuff. I walked out under the wrong banner. Nobody told me only bishops walked under the bishop's banner. Now I know. So if you ever are mistakenly doing that, I will correct you. I will say, "No, no, wait." But anyway, it's interesting because in life, we have to be rather careful about that. That's a funny story that I walked out under the bishop's banner. The bishops didn't seem to care. It's sort of a funny story, but in reality, when we live out our lives, when we live out our days, when we're in the nitty-gritty, the daily grind, we're probably, I would say undoubtedly, under one banner or another. And people can tell, just like people could tell I was under the wrong banner, they can tell what banner you're standing under. What banner are you proclaiming? Moses said, "A hand upon the banner of the Lord, the banner of the Lord," stating the victory of God, stating this is what God does. This is our God. So what banner do you stand under, even as we practice and put into action our Christianity? What banner do you stand under? Hopefully, it's the banner of faith, as as well as anything else, the banner of faith. Because, you know, it takes a lot of faith to live a Christian life. It takes a lot of faith to live life in general, but it takes a lot of faith to live a Christian life. I love how in this passage, the emphasis was on Moses' arms being outlifted. He was holding up the staff of God, which was Aaron's staff, the staff that he had turned into snakes there to convince Pharaoh, the staff of God that he held up when the Red Sea was parted. He holds up the staff of God, but of course, as it says, his arms get tired, and they end up having to hold his arms up because they realize when his arms fall down, the enemy prevails, and when his arms are up, then the Israelites prevail. And you think, that is so weird, and why would God make that happen? It almost sounds too magical to be a part of faith. But then, I don't know, God has a wonderful way of delivering a not-so-subtle message. That is, God is saying, if you're going to put your faith into action, then raise your hands and do something. Make your hands be a part of that faith of action, faith in action. That you have to do something in order for your faith to be seen, to be felt, and to make a difference in our world. Moses' arms up and down made a difference. It was the difference between victory and defeat. But they had faith that God was with them as they fought and as Moses' arms were out, spread out over them as well. So it's the same with us. As we live out our faith, we have to make sure that our actions are demonstrating that faith so that others can see that we stand not only under the banner of the Lord, but also the banner of faith in our lives, that no matter what, we have faith in God. Then also, I believe that we stand under the banner of courage. Courage. Our country, of course, I believe, was founded on courage. We like to look back on history and say everybody was in agreement, everybody understood that we were supposed to do a war of independence from Great Britain, and everybody said, yes, this is what we got to do. And then actually, if you go back and study history, there were many people who felt it was the worst thing in the world. And how dare we oppose the king and of England and everything else? That people were divided. Everybody had their own opinions. And, you know, but it was a step of faith and a step of courage to accomplish that. It takes courage to be a nation. It takes courage to be a Christian. It takes courage to live out our Christian walk, especially when devastation hits us, when things are difficult. It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to have courage when everything is great and wonderful. It's not quite so easy when things are not that way. A lady sent me an email back in 2011. She had lost her daughter at 9 years old. She was a member of my church, and the family was. Her daughter had died suddenly of a very mysterious illness. Very quickly struck her and very quickly took her. And so this is the email that she wrote to me. She said, I think I told you in one of our many conversations that I had never really known hard before. I've had a fairly normal all-American life. And even if someone had commented to me that some particular challenge in my life must have been hard, inwardly, I knew it really wasn't. Everything up to losing my daughter was quite doable. At the moment she left this world, I started learning all about hard. Well, I've been learning yet another valuable lesson through losing my daughter. Now I know all about courage. I've never experienced true courage before losing her. These past 2 years, I've learned how to reach deep into my soul to gather the strength God gives me to face things and even accomplish things I really didn't want to. Courage, for me, is hearing blithely stated conversation about death and the dead. Courage is watching little girls with their mothers. Courage is getting up every single day and facing a world that doesn't understand your pain. Courage is standing in a room full of people and finishing your sentence with tears in your eyes because something unpredictable has made you emotional as she enters your mind again. Courage is looking at pictures and reliving the time when everything was right with my world. Courage is watching your husband cry and watching your son struggle to understand. Courage is remembering the last moments of your daughter's life, what she said and how she looked, and remembering the courage in her eyes. As we live out our Christian lives, we have to make sure that we stand under the banner of courage. We also, in the midst of all things, in the midst of every challenge, we make sure that as Christians and as the church, we stand under the banner of grace, God's loyal love, God's loyal acceptance that God gives to us, regardless of whether we deserve that or not. God's love that is for us through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, given for us so that we might be at one with God. Grace is always there. Grace surrounds us. And we are called upon to be the people of God's grace, the people of love, so that others, in the midst of a world that can be very ungraceful, can encounter grace, God's grace through us. God's grace can be evident in so many powerful ways. One time in another church, we had a violinist who came in to play for the service, and the violinist was very accomplished and very nice, and she was playing Amazing Grace. The music was being, the service was being piped into the nursery, and after the service, the nursery workers came to me and said, we had several toddlers in there, and they were playing and doing their thing and everything, and she said, we were just having a good time, we were sort of listening to the service and everything. And then the violinist started playing Amazing Grace and said the toddlers stopped what they were doing, stood up, and started dancing to the music. So they were all dancing all around us to Amazing Grace. They said it was an amazing moment of God's grace through the children. You know, we say, and we sing, God bless America. God bless America. Well, God does and God will bless America. But then also, God expects us to stand under God's banner and to be a blessing to America, to be a blessing to others, to be the voice of God, the hands of God, the grace of God, the faith and courage of faithful people as we continue to move and change our world, our nation, forever. Let us pray.